And this is a time during the week where we really focus on that word community. And we are so happy to be the media partner for Concentrate Media in their On the Ground IPSE project. We've been doing this a little over a year and a half now, and we have the project manager. Is that your
official? That's correct.
As like the, you know, super special assistant media coordinator to the executive vice president of project management, you know.
Something like that,
yes. So you don't work at Eastern because we don't have a title that's 47 words long. But welcome, Sarah Rigg.
Thank you.
And Sarah is a local. She is passionate about journalism. She's definitely passionate about our community. And what did you go out and see this week on behalf of Concentrate Media?
I am covering the local chapter of My Brother's Keeper, so the Washtenaw My Brother's Keeper, which was an Obama-era initiative focused on mentoring and assisting young men of color with school readiness, career readiness, giving them second chances when they make a mistake. And I would just like to point out that Washtenaw County was the first county to take the pledge, the My Brother's Keeper pledge.
Awesome. And so this is a local organization devoted to something we've talked a lot about here, which is, you know, offering a hand up to those coming up from the next generation in their own way. We're going to talk to an expert in the Washtenaw County My Brother's Keeper in a moment, but just wanted to remind people, concentratemedia.com, concentrateA2 on Twitter, and Concentrate Media everywhere else.
That's right.
That's where you can find lots of great stories, not just the one we're going to talk about today. And just a reminder, On the Ground IPSE is an ongoing project that really looks to get into the heart of IPSE and not ignore problems, but look at the people that are offering solutions. You know, so often in the media, what we hear about are the bad news bears, the problems, the naysayers, the Ypsilanti's just an awful place kind of stories. But if you're in this community, you know there are so many people that have a heart for this community and will do what it takes, even in their own time, you know, till their fingers bleed in some cases, to try and help this community lift everyone up all at the same time. So thanks for being a part of this. We're so happy to have this focus on community here on WEMU. Who did you bring with you today?
I've got Shamar Heron, who happens to be the deputy director of Michigan Works Southeast, but he's also on the steering and planning committee for Washtenaw My Brother's Keeper.
And Shamar, I know that you played basketball for The Ohio State University.
I did.
Our Morning Edition host is a big Ohio State guy, too. So,
well, I like him already.
All right. So there's two Buckeyes in the building now, not just one. And
so you guys better watch out. But I got to be honest, I also played here at the wonderful Eastern Michigan University. So I did transfer from Ohio State here. Played 1 year, and then I figured it was time for me to go out and quote unquote live in the real world.
All right, did you play in the Convo Center or the old?
Played in the Convo.
Okay, I didn't want to guess your age, but
yeah, yep. So 1999, 2000, 2001. So I was there for the transitioning of coaches and all the fun stuff that goes along
but hey,
with that.
You know, I'm an alum here too, so you know, from one fellow Eagle to another, welcome and thanks for being a part of this community. I think that's where we're going to go with this. We're going to talk about my brother's keeper, but just to kind of let people know a little bit about your mentality, you help people every day in your job through Michigan Works. So give me a little idea of what your normal day is like. What are you doing for folks in our community?
So there's a number of things we do at Michigan Works, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to sort of spread the love around how we're helping. One of the things I like to point out is my normal day is not normal at all because we cover five counties as an agency.
Yeah.
So one day I'm in Washtenaw, and this afternoon, this Wednesday, I'll be in Jackson County. So I move a lot, but my primary role is to make sure our customer service is tip-top. So when someone walks into any one of our centers, they should be greeted, they should be helped, and they should feel like we're here to support them. And I love the notion of a hand up, not a hand out.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what we're here to do, is provide you the resources so that you can go out and sustain a lifestyle for you and your family.
Yeah, and we see that a lot with people that come in here, is that same mentality that, you know, I just want to help. You know, I'm not saying you absolutely need help or there's something wrong with you, but, you know, if you need a hand, we're here. I like that, and it's a small differentiation in mindset, but I think you know that it makes a big difference because when you go out, and especially with My Brother's Keeper, when you're going out in the community, you know, we don't want people to feel like there's something wrong with them.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's just, you know, hey, let's look at a different path here. Let's look at different options. So thanks for the work you do, first off, with Michigan Works. I mean, it takes a very special kind of person to help those that are helping others. So thanks for that. But My Brother's Keeper, how long have you been involved?
So this is my third year. The program rolled out in 2014. As Sarah mentioned, we are the first county in the nation to sign the My Brother's Keeper's Pledge.
Okay, what is this pledge? What does it signify?
So we're going to pledge to helping our young men and boys of color feel safe in their communities, learn at a rate that is equivalent to the national standard. We're going to make sure that they have opportunities to go and grow within post-secondary and training institutions. And then we're going to help them go out and learn how to be the most employable. So we don't talk about jobs. We talk about careers.
Right.
So a job is one thing where you can bounce around, but a career is something that's a lot more deliberate. And that's what we're trying to do is set plans in place for our young people, our young boys and men of color, to know and have ideas of what they can do and what's available, not just here in Washtenaw County, but across the nation.
Out of curiosity, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Detroit on 7 Mile and Van Dyke, okay. 7 Mile and Myers. I was all over the city.
All right. And when you were growing up, did you experience any kind of a program like this? Did you have access to anything like this that kind of help you up and give you a hand through life there?
So ironically, yes, I did. You know, what we're seeing now is sort of the downturn of these social programs that help young people. But when I was growing up, we had everything from DAPSEP, which still exists, which is the Detroit Area Pre-College Engineering Program. We had Wade McCree. We had the Cesar Chavez Initiative. So there were a lot of opportunities for young people to be exposed to not only career options, but to who our historic leaders are and were, but also what are the opportunities that are available to us. So I was fortunate to grow up in really a fantastic time within the city of Detroit.
And you used the word fortunate, so you feel like it had a positive impact on your life.
No doubt. No doubt. It certainly did.
Well, and you know, growing 6 inches in 1 year and then heading over to Ohio State to
you've done
to
your
play
research.
Ball. Well, a little bit. You know, I got to know who I'm chatting with, but and then you made the transition over here to Eastern. Did you just stay after you played at Eastern? Did you stay in Ypsilanti?
I did. I want to go back to the 6 inches in 1 year because it's fascinating.
All right.
So I left the fifth grade at 5'11".
Okay. All right. So already a little above average.
I was a lot above average. So leaving the fifth grade at 5'11", that summer, maybe early June, mid-June, my mom caught a really good sale at a clothing store. And so she bought me clothes a little bit bigger than what I was.
Yeah.
And I turned around and grew 6 inches in 1 summer.
So you're like a goldfish. They give you a little bit of room to expand. All of a
however
sudden,
much room you gave me is what I grew to.
All right. So
I've been bumping my head ever since. But, you know, the really cool part was I got to sort of dabble in two worlds because you're the size of an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of garnered this kind of respect. But I definitely had the mind of a 13-year-old boy. So let's be very clear about that.
All right. Where did you go to high school, out of curiosity?
So I graduated from Detroit Pershing High School. Right. So I'm a doughboy.
My grandmother and grandfather both went to Pershing, too.
So we've got great lineage here so far, man. You're affiliated with a Buckeye at work.
Yep.
And then you're of the loins of two doughboys and doughgirls.
Yep,
so this is fantastic.
Well, good. Now that we're good friends, let's talk. Let's talk about My Brother's Keeper. This is an Obama initiative. You said started in 2014. Just to remind people, Washtenaw County first one to take the pledge. You know, what was it about it? How did you get involved? You know, did somebody come to you? You just see this announcement, and go, man, this is something I got to do. How did you get involved?
So, because of my roles throughout the last 15 years in Washtenaw County, I've been able to be in well regard, I believe. And so when there's any sort of initiative that's focused on young people and folks let me know about it, I'm more than willing to help out. So you can cue the Whitney Houston music because I do believe that they are our future. And if you teach them well and let them guide the way, we're going to be okay. So that was one of my cliches for the day. But anytime someone reaches out to help young people out, I'm there. And so there was some leadership back then in 2014-15 who wanted to know if I was willing to help out from a little bit more of a distance way. So getting the word out, making sure people understand what it was, inviting people to the local summits that we were having, and they were all phenomenal, but we needed to do a little bit more than just get 200 or 300 people together and meet. So there were a couple iterations to get us to the point where we're at now, where we're all about action. We've met, we continue to meet, but what are our next steps?
Let's talk about that. What does My Brother's Keeper actually do, and how are you structured in Washtenaw County?
So Washtenaw County is a phenomenal place to live because there's so many resources. And as you mentioned earlier, there are so many people who are willing to help out and organizations that will kick in and really help to make sure things work out the way they're supposed to. So we have partners like the Washtenaw County, Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office. EMU is a fantastic supporter. YCS is a supporter, and the Washtenaw ISD is one of our, they're what we call our foundational leaders. They're the ones who are putting the dollars forward so us to, for us to be able to go out and do things like these Saturday breakfasts that we're having.
Oh, so let's talk. What are you doing? How do you take a 13, 14-year-old kid and interest them in interacting with you as an adult?
Well, it's going to take some time, but
it's not just a van with free candy on the side anymore. No, we don't do that anymore.
I'll say five for the Fifth Amendment.
But I mean, how do you take some? I mean, because it would seem to me when you were 13, I was 13. It kind of seems like I don't know if this was cool or not. I don't know.
No judgment here, but when you and I were 13, the world was a little bit different. Mm. There were some resources that were available that allowed us to engage in more meaningful and impactful ways than what's available now. So there's some great programming out there, but many of them sort of lose the luster as these young men grow. So they go from these 6 and 7 year old cute little boys to these 13, 14, 15 year old young men. And it can be intimidating at times for some folks who aren't used to working with young people of that age. And so what we do is, what's the best way to get a young man involved and interested in what you're doing? Feed them.
Food, yeah.
So food is where it's at. And their fathers and their uncles and their granddads show up, and that's what we want. We want an intergenerational crosscut of the community to come together.
You're not just targeting the kids. You're targeting the male influences in their lives as well.
We need all hands on deck.
All right. And you're providing support, top to bottom for people that, the students, obviously. But these men that are coming in, are they asking questions about what more can we do or how can we better support youth in our community?
That is the resounding cry now.
All right.
What is next for our young men and boys of color? So these Saturday breakfasts have went from a networking and bread-breaking opportunity to really starting to set the foundation for how we're going to engage our young boys and men of color. So we had a fantastic event last Saturday where we did some visioning. And we had Yodit Moffitt come in, and she was phenomenal in helping to lead us as men through a process so that we can start to understand how we're going to help our young people.
What are you seeing? What's on people's minds? You mentioned you did some visioning. I mean, what were some frequent thoughts that were, kind of people were nodding along with, that the good ideas that people were coming up with?
So there were these two notions of community and family, which I think are symbiotic, right? You can't have family without a solid community, and you can't have community without solid families. And so the notion of us really being our brother's keeper, us watching out for each other, us extending helping hands to one another. If you know someone needs some sort of help, whether it's groceries, whether it's a ride, whether it's just someone to talk to, we as men have to start to understand, how do we support each other? So I'll be honest, I grew up in a house full of women. If one of them had an issue, they all had an issue, and they rallied around each other and supported each other, and they cried and they laughed and they danced, and they figured out how to move things forward. And us as men, we sort of sometimes will recluse.
Right.
Well, we're giving them the opportunity to now come out, put up what their issues and concerns are in the forefront, and we start to address them so that our young men see us in a different light.
And it sounds, too, you're grappling with emotions to a degree, too. I think a lot of young men are taught, crying's for wussies, mm-hmm. and don't show emotions and hold it in. And if you ask for help, there's something wrong with you. I like what I'm hearing, and what I'm presuming is a message that it's okay to ask for help. And it's definitely okay if something's, you're sad or something's going on to reach a hand out and say, I need a little support here.
And that's one of the really cool things that is starting to surface is, hey, this is a safe space. Mm. So two breakfasts ago, we had an interaction with a young man and an older gentleman in the crowd where they had had interactions before, and they weren't the most positive. And to hear the raw emotion of that young man, him trying to articulate why he was so angry and frustrated, was eye-opening for every person in that room, because we're not giving our young people, and in particular our young boys and men of color, a space where they can just get it off their chest. So if you have to use an expletive, go ahead, because we need to hear what the issues are. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is providing that safe space and letting them know, we're here to listen and learn from you all. We can't come in with this, hey, I got a couple gray hairs, I know everything about what you're going through. Because to be honest, had you shown me an iPhone 7 in 1993, I would have claimed witchcraft.
Yeah, so there were some themes that came up over and over again, because I talked to several other people besides Shamar, and one of them was empathy, which he's already touched on. Yep. Like the sense of empathy, not like I'm talking down to you, but I'm trying to understand what it's like to be a young man. But I also want you to know that I've gone through a lot of the same struggles that you have, regardless of the age factor. So that was a big one. Another theme that came through was this concept of asset framing. They even had a speaker in to come and talk about that, because so many times young men of color are framed as a problem to be solved, rather than gifts do they have? What are they bringing into the community? How can we help them express themselves and do good in the community? And then the third one was the idea of boosting the signal. So they're providing feet on the street so they can boost the signal of other community groups that are already doing work around some of these issues.
Well, and I know that the age that you're talking about, this 13, 14, 15, for a lot of people, that is the first time they start seeing the world for what it is, the reality of their perceived place in the world, the reality of how others might perceive them, and whether it's because of the neighborhood they grew up in, or the color of their skin, or their financial standing, they start to feel a lot of pressure about their worth. And it's a confusing time for anyone, you know, but if you're poor and you're a person of color and you're in a, you know, household that doesn't have the greatest family setup, it can be a horrifying time. And it sounds like you're trying to redirect, you know, you're trying to get kids in that state, or, you know, from other related states, and just, you know, say, hey, you know what? You don't have to figure this out on your own.
Absolutely.
Other people
Absolutely.
Have gone through this too. And it's not as bad as you might perceive it to be.
And so just for one point of clarification, we're helping from 0 to 24.
All right.
It just so happens that we've got a lot of these teenagers floating around here. And as I tell them, look, I've been flicked by the police before. I've been pulled over unjustly before. I've been harassed before. But I've also been bullied. Even though I'm 6'9" right now, you can imagine a 5'11" or a 5'10" fourth grader who's skinny as a rail and, you know, very dark skinned. So I know what it was like to be picked on and bullied in 1987 when there wasn't as much political correctness. Mm-hmm. So we also are serving as a resource and a reference guide for them on how they handle these issues. So we're excited about it. We're happy to see the young men showing up, and we're happy that some of them are speaking up and saying, hey, this is what we want to see.
And do you see them kind of cycling back in at some point into the program, that they're provided this example of how to live a life of service in many ways, that it's an attractive option?
Well, very frankly, we're asking them to step up right now.
Okay.
So we have some needs that we believe our young people could serve. One is, I'm not the most social media savvy, okay, but they are. Mm-hmm. And one young man said, do you all have an Instagram page? I said, no, but would you like to run it? And he looked at me very frankly and said, yes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring him onto the steering committee and make sure that he is a vocal part of how we get the word out, not only to the folks who are of our age demographic, but to his peers. Because the young people of this day and age have content, and they know how to create content. And so when we talk about asset-based framing, how can you help us? You can help us in the worlds by which you are most active, and social media is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I was just thinking in my head, you know, I wonder with that young man whether that was the first time that an adult had come to him and said, I have faith in your abilities, I recognize that you have a talent that I don't possess, and I want to give you a seat at the table and listen to you as if your word was equal to mine. I mean, what a tremendous, just that message alone. You know, there's so many kids that need to hear that they have value.
And that young man had made a real cry or call to action at that meeting saying, hey, I'm looking for a mentor. He couldn't even get the words mentor out, but we understood what he was looking for. He's looking for someone who's empathetic, who will listen to him and give him guidance, not as someone who knows more than him, but someone who has experienced some of the things he's headed towards. So that young man in particular was keen enough to be able to pick up on, this is a room where I can make this call. And he probably got five or six contacts of some of the most influential people in the county.
Right. And as Sarah said, there's a big difference between thinking somebody's broken and needs to be fixed and thinking somebody's just still assembling and needs a little help putting the parts together.
That's that asset-based framing that we're going to work from. So we could talk about problems in the most influential communities in the world.
Right.
So a problem is a problem, but what assets do our young people bring to the table? And in particular, our young boys and men of color, what are they experiencing that they can bring to us and help us from a solution-based standpoint, opposed to let's try and figure out downstream what's happening. Let's get further up the stream and try to prevent some of these things from happening.
Now, I know there's somebody listening right now, hopefully lots of somebodies that are thinking, man, I'd love to be involved in this. How do we find you? How do we find Washtenaw, My Brother's Keeper?
Yep, so we have a Facebook page. Like I said, we're getting there.
Right.
And it's just WMBK, Washtenaw, My Brother's Keeper.
Right.
Please check it out. Click like, follow us. Make sure that you can start to see the activity that's happening. We're posting tons of pictures from our 50 Strong breakfasts that happen on the second Saturdays of the month. And we are excited about the growth that is happening. Every month we see probably a 15 to 20% increase in the number of people who participate and attend these breakfasts. Now, food heals all wounds, but we certainly want to make sure that there's some content and actionable items coming from these Saturday meetings.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for the work you do. Thanks for bringing us the word of the Washtenaw County My Brother's Keeper. I hope this continues to grow, as you've been saying there. And just, you know, out of curiosity, this might be an easy question. It might seem obvious to you, but is this anybody can join? Anybody can participate here?
So anyone can participate, absolutely, but we are looking for those who have had some of the experiences that we know our young boys and men of color are going up against. And I want to be perfectly clear about this. Because we are working with young boys and men of color, that doesn't mean we are some sort of exclusive group. We have a focus on those young boys and men, but if you are coming with the positive intentions of helping them lead a better life, we want you at the table. So of color is pretty wide open, and we want to make sure people know that.
You want people with relatable experience that have a heart for service, especially for the younger men in our community.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for all that great information. You can find it also linked over at our story that we're going to post at WDEMU.org. And Sarah, it sounds like you had a good week meeting a lot of folks that are really committed to helping kids in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. They're all very passionate about their respective areas, whether it's helping young men who have made mistakes and need to get back on their feet, or, you know, just people who want to change the image that we have of young men of color.
What's next for you? What can we expect coming up here?
Well, I'm still nailing down what next week's story is going to be, but hopefully in the next few weeks I'm going to be doing a story about a new arts and culture project. The Ann Arbor Area Community Foundation funds some really cool projects. And one of them is going to be a series of workshops, and hopefully will result in an anthology of poetry by women of color in Washtenaw County. So that's what I'm hoping to write about, if not next week, then soon.
Well, tell Neil I say hello, and everybody at WDEMU appreciates the work they do in our community, too. And we look forward to more from you at concentratemedia.com. This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WDEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.